So yeah, I'll just pray quickly before we start. Yeah, dear Lord, thank you that we can join together to study your precious word. Please open our hearts and minds to the message you have for us, delivered through your servant, Matt. Amen. Cool. Yep, so Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6 through to the end. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are all shadows of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you die with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence.
Thanks, Lynn. Well, I wonder what you do in your life that you kind of do that to make yourself feel more complete. Because I think that's kind of what we're all striving for, isn't it? I mean, you know, this sense of fullness and completeness in life, where we kind of get to a point and we just look back on life and go, you know what, I'm pretty happy, I'm complete right now. I wonder what it is for you that kind of gives you that feeling. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you kind of look at, you know, other people around you getting married and you think, you know, if I just could find this one person, you know, I'd be really happy. If I can just get to this point where I find someone who, you know, likes the same kind of music, watches the same movies, we have the same kind of life goals. Maybe we get to this point, you know, when you get there, it's just life's complete. Or maybe for you it's having stuff, like iPhone 5 came out yesterday. I'm not having a go at you if you bought the iPhone 5, but that might be you. Maybe it's buying a TV, you know, getting a Rolls-Royce car. I'm sure not many people here could afford a Rolls-Royce. But maybe a house, once you get a house, life complete. Or maybe it's to get to the top of your field, you know, become self-employed, become a paramedic, life complete. Become a teacher, life complete. Maybe not in Bathurst, but once I've had grandchildren or children, you know, once you can have little feet running around your house, life complete. Well, today we're going to have a look at how Jesus has done a complete work for us. And what's more, not to be taken captive by other things. So I need to set the scene before we begin. If you've got your Bibles there, 6 and 7, Paul makes this crucial point that everything in this passage kind of flows from. So my three points that I make will come out from this initial statement from Paul, where he tells us to continue to live our lives in Jesus, strengthened in the faith, we are to thank Jesus for what he has done for us. He wants us to remain committed to the faith. And so the rest of the passage is about Paul saying, remain strong in the faith, as you see in verse 6 and 7, by not being taken captive. So if you look at verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Now Paul here, he's worried that we will fall captive to philosophies that are based on human tradition and thinking rather than on what Jesus has said and done. But, you know, why should we even worry about this? Why is that actually a big problem? Well, the reason is because Jesus' work for us is complete. This is the first thing that I'm going to say, and it's the first thing we need to understand. Jesus' work for us is complete. Everything that Jesus has said and done for us means that we are completely saved. We're free from the punishment that we deserve. Jesus saved us from our sin and judgment and did so completely. We don't need to look anywhere else. He's done everything. We don't need to be taken captive to other things because Jesus' work for us is complete. So if you look in verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, the first thing that you can see here in verse 9 is that Jesus says that he's God. Now, it's a bit different if I come up to you and kind of say, you know, I'm Matt, I'm God, you shouldn't listen to me. Jesus actually is God. So this is something that Paul points out is really important. He actually has the power to do what he says next. And then he comes to say that in Christ you have been given fullness. Your sinful nature was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. He forgave all of our sins. Now that is to say that Christ has done everything for you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then he has acted to save you by completely cutting off your old self that was dead in sin and death. And he did that by dying on the cross. By doing this, he saved us from the punishment that we deserve for rejecting him. And he did all of this while we were still dead. Now, I assume that most of you know that dead people can't really do anything. It's the same here. We can't do anything when we're dead. But Jesus came along when we were dead and raised us to life through Jesus. And so we're forgiven by God for our rejection of him. And then just to be safe, just in case you're kind of going, maybe there's something here, some kind of loophole that means that we're not quite saved. Just to be safe, he disarmed the powers and authorities so that nothing can change what God has done in us. Now, I want you to understand how complete Jesus' work is here. I'm going to do this action every time I talk about something. Think complete every time I do this. It's like a full circle. Okay, that's an obvious one because I'm doing that. It's like a finished puzzle. You know when you stick in the last bit and you're like, yes, unless someone's taken the last piece and that's really annoying. Maybe it's like finishing an assignment and you've actually done a good job and it's finished, handed off, sent to the marker. Maybe it's like building a house. Maybe it's like completing the Harry Potter series. Maybe not. I think she's going to write some more, but you get the idea. It's absolutely complete. So if you claim to be a Christian, then you don't need to do anything else because God has completely done everything fully that is totally needed for you to be forgiven and saved to the full extent through Jesus' resurrection forever. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? It's really awesome, isn't it? So don't let yourself be taken captive to anything that promises to give you something extra, or suggest that somehow the work of God is just not quite good enough. Jesus works to take off your sin, make you alive, forgive you, and then make sure that nothing can do anything otherwise. completely. Are you sick of that word yet? Because I got pretty sick of saying it. This is absolutely crucial. You must believe that what Jesus did for you was complete. Paul said this at the start, if you remember back to verse 6 and 7. Live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. You have to work at making sure that you believe this. It's so crucial. Meet with other Christians constantly so you can remind each other of what you believe in the complete work of Jesus. Join a small group if you aren't already in one. There's a couple around. I'm sure Tristan will be happy to put you in one. Come to church and encourage each other of the great work that Jesus has done in completely saving us. You know, I find it really encouraging when people rock up to church, particularly people that work, you know, really long hours or have really taxing jobs and they're giving up the small amount of time they have. I find that really encouraging, and especially also people that might not know many people that come to church. I find that really encouraging. And it's just really awesome because they come and they know that they need to be reminded that Jesus' work for them is complete, and to remind others. And you know, I'm just going to put in perspective here because you might be like, oh look, I rock up every Sunday, okay? I just want to tell you what's on TV whilst you're currently here. Okay, you can walk out the doors if you would choose, because it's a pretty good lineup. You have 7, 9 and ABC News. Okay, Jason Smart is missing Big Brother. I don't know if some of you are into Big Brother. What else is on? There's a double episode of Modern Family that should start about now. And just in case you're like, nothing's really grabbed me yet, Iron Chef is also on at this time. And you know, the pews, they're pretty uncomfortable, you know, especially if you don't have a cushion, you're sitting there and you're like, man, I should have just stolen one off another pew, there's one right next to me. But it's really encouraging that people come here because they want to be reminded and remind each other that Jesus' work for them is to complete and to rejoice in that fact. You know, Christianity isn't something that we're made to do alone. We humans need to remind each other that Jesus died for us and that his work is complete, because it really is so amazing. We need to commit to come to church regularly because we need to remind each other and be reminded of that work. Now, I don't know if you've heard of a thing called Starbo, subject to a better offer. It's where you kind of say you're going to go to something and then you get a better offer and you decide to bail. I read over my talk early today and realised that I'd done that a couple of times this week and was really embarrassed. But it's subject to a better offer, and that's something that we really need to change, because coming to church, it's not only for you, but it's also for those around you to remind them of the great work of Jesus. So Jesus has saved us and forgiven us, and his work is complete. Now, we know that Jesus' work is complete. We've kind of gotten past that hurdle. So don't be taken captive. Don't be taken captive by the warped thinking of others that tells you that for some reason or other, you need something a little bit extra to add on to Jesus. Because, to be honest, we're pretty easily persuaded to believe it. So look at verse 16, if you've still got your Bible. Verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Now, I don't know what your idea of Israelite history was like. There was a lot of things that they were required to do, such as the Sabbath, which I'm sure a lot of us have heard of, new moon celebrations. They were required to do a lot of sacrifices, go to the temple. But Paul here says that the people back then shouldn't let the other people judge them, because these things don't matter anymore. Now that Jesus has come, they don't matter. And so they were laid down before Jesus has come, but now that he's come, it doesn't matter. Now that we have the complete and sufficient work of Jesus, they are but a shadow of Jesus, it says in verse 17. Then he says to them to not let these people disqualify them. He reminds them not to believe in the things that other people believe that are outside of Jesus, or that are a shadow of what we already have. People who have false humility, people who it's all about what they've seen and what they've done. He He says that for these people, it ends up being about things other than God that becomes the focus. They pretend that it's for God, but it's actually not. I mean, we can kind of see that around us today. I mean, there's really extreme examples of people, you know, crucifying themselves or whipping themselves to, you know, make them feel a little bit closer to God. Or maybe people that say you have to fast once a week or twice a week. But Paul says that these type of people are acting in false humility. These people think about what they've seen and what they've experienced and somehow think that you need to add stuff or take away stuff to Jesus' work in order for it to really happen. Can you see how that's false humility? What they're saying is, I'm so devoted to God that I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. But what they're really saying is, you know, Jesus has done something for me, but I just need to experience a little bit more. I just need to maybe show my devotion that little bit more. You know, God's done everything, but I just need to do something a little bit extra. God thinks he has done everything, but he really wants me to do something just a little bit more. Can you see how that masquerades as humility, but it's actually pride and arrogance? Paul says to them not to let those type of people pull you away from the faith because, he says, they've lost connection from the head. They're not attached to life anymore. He says not to let them take them captive into believing that what Jesus did for them was not complete. If we let people fool us by our warped thinking, then they will want the shadow, not the real thing. So I'm getting married soon. I'm getting married to Alyssa, and I can't wait to see her walk down the aisle. Oh, I know. But imagine if a friend came up to me just before I'm about to get married, and he goes, you know what, Alyssa's pretty good, but her shadow is pretty dang attractive. And so he somehow manages to convince me that I should marry Alyssa's shadow. And so she walks down the aisle, and you know, she kind of gets to the front, and I'm like, oh, that's really awesome. Can you just hold out your hand? She kind of holds it, and I'm like trying to grab the shadow, you know, kind of go down there. Well, that's literally what it's like when we get taken away and get told that the work of Jesus is not complete for us. You know, I have the complete person sitting in front of me. Alyssa's standing right there. But for some reason, I go for the shadow. I mean, it's insane, isn't it? I'm sure I actually tried to see if there was an example of someone marrying a shadow. There's some pretty whack things of people marrying, but I couldn't find one of someone marrying a shadow. But letting our thinking be warped by that of others is exactly like letting someone else convince us that we should settle for the shadow when the complete work of Jesus is right in front of us. It even says it in verse 17. We have the complete and perfect work of Jesus right there, but instead we decide to go for the shadow. Don't be taken captive by the warped thinking of others. So don't let people convince you that you need Jesus plus something else. I'm going to give a couple of examples. They're just some things that came to my head. Tongues. Now, there is nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. Don't hear me say that. It's a gift given by God to some people. But there are a lot of people out there who teach that you must be able to speak in tongues to be a Christian. And, of course, we know that Jesus never taught that. And it's them kind of adding, you need something a little bit extra to add onto the complete work of Jesus. Baptism, the same again. Baptism is a fantastic thing. It's a great symbol of Jesus' work in our life. But there's a lot of people who teach that you must be baptized. If you're not baptized, then you're not going to heaven. It's a little bit ludicrous, really, splashing some water on you, but there's a lot of people that believe that. Or maybe this one, being a perfect Christian. God always calls us to try and follow him and to live for him as much as we can, but there's also this little perception, and no one ever says this, right? No one ever says you need to be a perfect Christian like they say you need to be baptized. But in the way that people live, in the way that we act, you know, if someone's got a little bit of a dodgy past, we kind of, you know, decide not to hang out with them. You know, they're not quite good enough for us. Now, don't try to add or supplement Jesus' work with things. We believe that Jesus' work is complete, and so we shouldn't try to add anything. If we do, we're simply going back into captivity. Don't let people convince you that Jesus' work isn't complete and that you need the shadow. So don't be taken captive by warped thinking into going for the shadow, but Paul also warns us not to go back to what we were taken captive to. Don't return to the things that you did before you were Christian, because they're all based on human commands and teachings, and have something as Jesus other than the focus. So if you look at verse 20 to 23, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Now, Paul here says the Christians in Colossae had been freed from their wrong way of thinking, but for some reason they kept going back to what they used to do before they had become Christian. They kept submitting themselves to the rules and regulations that they used to follow. If they believe that Jesus' work is complete and sufficient for them, then they also need to remember that anything else that they depend on is superficial and will fade with time. It's returning to their captivity. Paul warns them not to give in to the temptation, not to go back to what they used to do before they were Christian. Now, this is the same for us, isn't it? We have the complete work of Jesus, so don't be taken captive by going back to what you used to do. That is what we do when we try to go back to what we used to do. We are putting ourselves back into captivity. Now, imagine that you got put in jail for whatever reason, and then you get set free. Maybe someone pays the price for you, or you serve your time, and you get set out of jail and you're free to go. But then for some reason, you decide that you need to come back into jail to serve your time, or to make your punishment seem a bit more real. Now, the punishment's already been paid, right? There's nothing else you can do to pay more punishment. But for some reason, you choose to put yourself back into jail, back into captivity. Now, that is what we do when we try to go back to what we used to do before we were Christian. We're putting ourselves back into captivity. There's nothing for us there. For the Israelites, going back to their old way of life meant going back to rules and regulations that were the Jewish custom. But as far as I know, there's no one here that's Jewish. I probably have just offended someone. But as far as I know, there's no one here who came from that culture. But for us, it's really living our lives before we were Christian. We're tempted to submit ourselves to the basic principles of this world, right? Now, I don't know what you're tempted to go back to. I listed a couple here. Something that I've always pretty sucked at, and I think a lot of people have, is gossip. Gossip is where you kind of, you know, you pretend, this is what you do, right? You pretend in your head that this other person really needs to know what you're going to tell them, or that, you know, they just did me so wrong, like someone just needs to know about this. And then you kind of start justifying, look, it's wrong, but this isn't really gossip. Like, you know, I'm kind of just, you know, they're going to find out anyway, I might as well tell them. And it's where you kind of make yourself look good by making someone else look bad. That is our old way of thinking. Don't go back to the way that we used to live. Another one, and this is particularly a problem for guys, is porn. Now, porn is something that we all know is really destructive, but it's something that has just become so mainstream in our media. It's like gambling, but it's really destructive. Don't go back to your old way of living, because it's captivity. Envy. Now, this is kind of where a lot of our old habits come back from, because we look at our non-Christian friends and we go, yeah, that looks really fun, I want to go back to that. But envy. Make sure that you don't envy what other people have that aren't Christian. They don't have the complete work of Jesus. What have you got to envy? It's kind of like going for the shadow. You've got the whole thing. They should be envious of you. Don't go back to the way that you used to live. Remember that Jesus died for us and that his work is complete. We don't need to be subject to these things anymore. Take comfort in the fact that Jesus has acted to save us from these things. Don't go back into the captivity that you used to be a part of. Remember that Jesus and his work is completely sufficient for you. Make sure that you don't get taken captive. Let's pray. Dear God, just thanks for this chapter of the Bible, Colossians. Just thanks that Paul's written to the Colossians, and that we can just take a lot from it. God, I pray that you'd help us to remember that your work for us is completely sufficient. Just help us to remember that there's nothing extra that we can do. God, I also just pray that you'd help us to be on our guard and that we wouldn't be taken captive by thinking that we need to add something extra to what you've done for us or to go back to what we used to do. And I just pray that you'd help us to talk to our non-Christian friends about this great complete work that's been done for us. I just really pray that you'd help us to just be really thankful for the fact that you have done the complete work for us. Amen.